When I was 4 years old, my grandpa gave me my very first book, Bird Stamps, a little golden activity book, originally published in 1949. I pored over the entries, reading the simple descriptions of each species and imagining a world where a person might actually see a bluebird, a Baltimore oriole, a hummingbird, a redwing, a red-headed woodpecker, or a horned owl in real life. Bird stamps included the only three species I knew personally from my own neighborhood, the robin, cardinal, and house sparrow. The other 15 were nowhere to be seen in Northlake, the blue-collar suburb of Chicago where I lived, at least as far as I could tell. So for the most part, this was a book of tantalizing mysteries. When my family went to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, when I was 5, I saw a blue jay which I recognized from the book, and I was thrilled. I wondered if there were 14 other places where I could go to see the remaining ones. I left my bird stamp book on the swing set when I went in for my nap one day, and it rained that afternoon. So although I could picture some of those 18 birds in my mind's eye, my precious book was gone forever. 15 or so years later, when I started birding, I couldn't remember all the birds in the book, so didn't know exactly when I finally saw all 18 species pictured in the book, but thanks to the miracle of the internet and eBay, now I do. During my first spring of birding, spent in Lansing, Michigan, and home in Chicago, I saw 10 of the 18 birds. When summer rolled around, I took a field ornithology class in southern Michigan and added 6 more. The sheer richness of those first months of discovery, seeing 78 species for my life list between March 2nd and the end of June, kept me in an almost constant state of euphoria. By year's end, I'd seen 17 of the bird stamp species, and on January 15th, I added the last one, the horned owl. In today's digital world, children have access to a far richer wealth of full color and video images of just about anything in the world than I could have imagined in the 1950s. That rich source of imagination is a wonderful treasure, but I often wonder about how drab real life might seem in comparison. I wonder how many children would rather look at internet videos of pandas and polar bears, usually produced in zoos, than of real life meadowlarks and bobolinks made in the wild. So much of the artwork of today adds a fake layer of cuteness or drama to real-life images of birds, setting up weirdly false expectations about nature. And even as the virtual world expands, the real world grows increasingly diminished. Today, some of the species in my golden book are far rarer than they were when I was a child. Nostalgia about my childhood makes the reality of the 1950s rather rose-tinted. On windy days, the sky in my town was dotted with puffy blobs of soap suds churned up where our polluted creek gushed through a dam. The DDT truck ran through our neighborhood on summer nights. I did actually see a Baltimore oriole once in my yard, but it was dead the morning after one of those sprayings. This was hardly an idyllic world to reminisce about, and there is so much about today's world worth celebrating. But I wish that everyone could experience at least one season filled with the magical joy of discovery that I had in 1975 when I saw so many of my first birds through eyes filled with a child's elation and wonder. The more we appreciate this world's real-life treasures, the more likely it is that we'll protect them, so young people of the future will also be able to thrill at a glorious season of discovery. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.